Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Get motivated, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. Your hosts for the show and Parent Coach Super Guides are Gretchen Downey and Jacqueline T.D. Quinn.
Hi, this is Jackie.
And this is Gretchen. And today we're talking about saying no to my child. What does it really mean? And it can be challenging for parents when we have to say no to our kids to keep them safe all the time. But what does it really mean when we do this? What does it mean inside the brain and the body? What does it mean within our physiology? And also, what does it mean within our own human soul? Because it impacts us. And in fact, no is really contrary to our real human design and construction. And we're wired actually to do the opposite. And so this is why our kids and adults too push against this no so hard. If we didn't, we wouldn't evolve, we wouldn't grow, and we wouldn't become more and expand. And that's what we're designed to do. So what we have to do is get real clever about how we work around this and how we say no without really saying no to our kids.
Absolutely. So today, that's what we're going to be concentrating on is no. What does it really mean to our brain, to our neuroscience, to our conscious and subconscious mind?
Yeah, and every word we speak actually affects how the brain builds circuitry. It starts with our mind, what we're thinking, and then that gets directed outward. So the body just responds and the brain responds to that. So it'll build circuitry according to that. So if we constantly, with our children, have limiting language, limiting thoughts, limiting beliefs, no, you can't do that. No, that's not possible. No, that's not good for you. In some cases, it is correct. Like in the case of no, it's not good for you. There may be something that is very harmful to them. Perhaps it's foods, perhaps it's behaviors and activities, but there are better ways of saying it that actually programs the brain in better ways and also doesn't get your child to have that push against you, which is really what you want. You want them cooperating and you want them expanding and doing and being more and growing more. So the word no, when used too often, can program the brain for limitation, separation, fear, and resistance. And we want to hardwire our children's brains for the possibilities, the limitlessness, productivity. We want these things to be the norm.
Right, absolutely. And you touch on a really good word, program. It's really important as parents to understand that we are programming our children's brain in what we say, how we say it, because the communication goes into their brain. It creates a thought, and that thought will create a behavior. And from that behavior, it creates an action or a reaction. And as they grow older, this then becomes reinforced with the same thought, the same behavior, the same action or the reaction. So you'll find adults, when you say something or the way you say something, automatically they go right back to the way it was programmed.
Yeah, and it's like a vicious cycle and a hamster wheel. But let's be really clear about this. Everything always initiates with a thought. That is how the human being creates thought, how we direct our mind. And this is it's the age of thought.
Yeah.
And we're understanding the power of our thought and how we create with that. And so what you're saying is we get into this loop because when it becomes an automatic behavior pattern that gets actually coded into the wiring of our brain, if we hear no a lot, or just like if we hear joy or some other emotion or something, whatever, a lot, it gets encoded and we respond to that in an automatic way. So those automatic thought patterns just kind of happen accidentally over and over without thinking them. And so we can become very negative, very limiting in how we think, and that's not what we want. And so like I mentioned, it's contrary to our human nature and our human design. And so we really have to catch ourselves and make a shift in the other direction if we really want our children to reap the best and highest benefits out of this. Now, something that we probably should talk about just a tiny bit about without getting too complicated or complex on it is the conscious and the subconscious mind.
Absolutely.
Because we have an individual conscious and subconscious mind, and then there is a universal conscious and subconscious mind, like a massed mind, if you will. And we are responsible for regulating our own, but we sometimes can get caught into the mass consciousness. And this is where it gets really crazy and hectic. So imagine you see this happening all the time with like mob thinking and mentality where people are in a riot and it just keeps fueling mass consciousness and you're just in this energy, right? Yeah. And there's a conscious energy going on around the entire planet, but we have to be almost like really conscious silos, meaning you are actually self-directing. This is what they call self-consciousness, where you're self-directing your own thoughts, where they're going, what they're thinking about, and then ultimately what you're saying. So the words that come out, the feelings, the intentions, the emotions. This is the impetus of creating, and this is what we create for ourselves. So if I have a thought that, no, I can't do this, no, my child can't do this, and I impart that upon my kid, and now they're thinking this way, they now have emotions, feelings, thoughts, intentions, and actions that match.
Absolutely. That's what the subconscious and the conscious mind is. They want to match. And what Gretchen is saying is so great is we have to be very conscious of our thoughts, actions, and behavior, because the mass is going to have their own. And it's so easy to get sucked into that. We see it every day in the world.
The subconscious mind works very, very differently than the conscious mind. In essence, there is a universal subconscious that is creating everything in the universe. Think of it this way. Everything in our lives, our even body, is put together. We don't have to think about that. We don't have to think about how our digestive system, you don't tell it to do, hey, grind up these proteins, do this. Your flesh, anything to hold together, you don't have to tell an apple to grow on an apple tree instead of on a twig of grass. Nature just does this, and it does it automatically, okay? So subconscious works by suggestions, and it creates everything. It creates everything in your reality, and it does it by suggestion. These become embedded into the physical brain. The brain is kind of like a receiver of the information, and then it will code it and make it automatic for you. So this is why we see like hypnosis in some of these different modalities working so well, because they actually make different suggestions to the subconscious mind, which actually creates everything. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when the subconscious mind believes or is fed a different suggestion, it'll start creating accordingly. Like around, you know, quit smoking or whatever it is. There's all these different things that can shift a subconscious mind. Some people have a lot of lack mentality, or I can't make money, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they just have this belief system that subconscious must feed them this reality of what they're thinking, feeling, because that's the way it works. That's how it creates universes. That's how it creates our reality and what we see. It only works on suggestion. You can't command it. So you have to suggest. You have to feel, you have to think, you have to say a different way. And that all starts with how you regulate your self-conscious mind, how you're self-directing what you're thinking and saying. And that begins with the words you launch.
One of the things in one of our last episode was about mixed messages. And this also goes into what I'm thinking about parents. When you're sending mixed messages to your children, it's going into their subconscious mind. It's making it confused. The subconscious says it doesn't make sense to you, and their conscious is kind of spinning. The words that parents use, the word that we use, is so important.
Yeah, well, actually, the subconscious is actually indifferent. It doesn't care. It just gets input. It just gets data.
It just stores memory. It's just like a hard drive.
Well, that's like the hippocampus. The hippocampus just holds information in the brain. That's how it receives the coding. But the subconscious, it doesn't care what it gets. It just gets, and then it creates. That's what it does. So when you have a thought, it just creates anything, a reality that matches that thought, and it makes things happen. It's said that God creates the universe with its mind. It makes suggestions and the universe is formed, or a human is created, and it's creating an idea and a suggestion on a very high level. That's very esoteric high level, but on our own individual practical level, we make suggestions to ourselves all the time.
Yeah, we create our own universe.
I can't do that. I can do that. And it's like, so now it gives me every limiting reality that I possibly can. And anybody that knows the law of attraction and all these different universal laws knows it pulls things into existence. But so getting back to your kids, our kids are here to really do something incredible and amazing and shift the impact of this earth. And they have very viable purpose and a reason for being here. And so we have to ensure that the way that they're thinking and the way that they're speaking about themselves and their possibilities is congruent.
Absolutely. And so I think that's why as parents, we have to become leaders. We have to be aware of what we say, how we say it. And just using the word no, you can't do this, or no, you can't have it, doesn't really create the impact that we want on our children.
Let's talk about, as parents, you want to have some things you can say. What can I say? What can I do? And here's very, very simple techniques is simply like insert a better offering. The reason your kid, child, teen, anybody is saying pushing against you is because they want to expand. When you're holding them back and everything they're doing is trying to just get their wings to fly and you're restricting them, then they're going to push against you. There are a few things you can do. One is insert a better offering to your child.
Yeah.
If a child is doing something that maybe they shouldn't be, because that's usually when parents step in, it's all very well intentioned when you're doing this. Step in and just ask them if they want to help you cook, or give them another task or another option in doing what they're doing to maybe pacify them for the moment, or until maybe the activity is safer to do. Maybe there's too many children, there's too many cars in the street, or whatever the case may be. Hey, let's do that. But could we do this first? Ask them so that they can have a little bit of empowerment in the process.
I like the word not right now.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe later. Instead of no, say maybe later. Can we talk more about later?
Yeah, say yes later. If they want something now, and but should have it later, like a snack before dinner, that's a common one all the time. And say, of course you can have one, but this isn't the time, because you're here to connect the dots for them as well. Because yes. if you don't connect the dots and your whole goal is not to say no to your child, that isn't healthy either. Because they do need to know what limitations are. There are limits and there are boundaries. And you just needed to tell them when that is and show them when that is appropriate. Because they're going to need to learn this when they're on the playground, when they're talking to their teachers, and in the work-life balance, or work-life rather, when they're in the working world. They have to know these limitations and boundaries. There's a right time and a wrong time to do things. And just to teach them that.
Another alternative to saying no that I use a lot is explaining the reason why you're saying no. For me, education is a huge component. For example, nutrition is really big in our family. I want my kids to understand what all the chemicals are, what it does to their body, and what happens when it goes into their body, why they feel a certain way. So they understand about high fructose corn syrup. They understand about some of these other chemicals that are in their food. So when we go to a grocery store, we get to the checkouts, got all that stuff on the side there. There's been many times where my son said, can I have this Sour Patch Kids or something? And I would say, look in the back of the ingredient, honey, look what's on there. Look at the first thing is sugar. Remember we talked about sugar, what it does, and he'll put it right back because he gets it. He knows what it does. That's when it comes to food. I've never had any issue with my kids in grocery stores because of that. I explain why banana is healthy, why organic is better versus non-organic.
Then you hit the teen and tween years and that doesn't work so well.
Every age is different. My
right.
kids are 12
right.
and 9, and I've started this since they could talk. And then once you hit the teen, there's other ways to explain certain thing, and Gretchen will probably be...
Well, and then you just shift it is all, because then you move it in. Well, and you'll do this with your young kids too, but is to give them choices.
Right.
And so this leads to, you know, you can go into the grocery store or wherever and say, okay, there's this, this, and this. Which one would you like?
Yes.
This I do this all the time too, with
too.
My kids, because I want them empowered.
Yes.
If I know that they're going to select something that is not good for them, then I limit the choices like to two things or three things.
Yep.
But if I know that they're going to really be reflective and use their mind to think about it, kind of process some of the stuff like you're talking about, hey, you know, I learned a lot about nutrition and I learned about all these great things. Am I going to process and actually use it correctly? Before a game, for example, or they're going to have a lot of games in one day, what kind of foods do you want? What do you want to fuel yourself with? Now, I could give them three choices, but if I let them kind of put those together on their own, where I don't even give a suggestion, I'll do it in those cases where I think they're going to make the right choice.
Yeah.
Okay? So
yeah, yeah.
so that it yeah. empowers them to really think it all through. I didn't do all the thinking for them, because that's ultimately what I want to do. I want my kids to think as much as I can for themselves on their own. And I'm leading them and guiding them the whole way.
Yeah.
without being the person that is commanding and demanding through the word no, do as I say, you will do as I say. That does not work with kids, and it never, ever empowers your kids.
Yeah.
Now, there may be a time when you have to play the heavy, or it's a very serious thing, and you know, I'm making an executive decision.
Yeah.
And it's going to be no, and we just have to move on. But those are very, very rare that I have ever done those with my kids, because I always use every opportunity for a learning opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Even though they don't know it, I have to backdoor that to them. So insert a better offering, give them choices.
And I want to mention something about choices. It's funny that you say that, because I do that, and my kids sometimes now will say, what are my choices? For example, I had the kids this weekend, and we had a very busy weekend. My son wanted a play day with his friend, and there's just no time. And I said, honey, we don't have time for that, but these are the things that, you know, we can do. So he's used to always hearing, no, we can't do that right now, but here are things that we can do instead. And maybe next weekend you can do that. There's been times where he'll come up and he'll say, what are my choices? What are my choices?
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's nice that they're doing that. And then the progression, the next step of the progression is, well, what do you think? What do you think we should do? It's always getting to do higher and higher critical thinking. And it's cool when they make these amazing shifts. Now they're asking for, well, what are the choices? They're thinking there are choices. There are options here that I need to analyze, and I'm curious what they are. Then they become the creator of the options.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, if you're doing the work, they become creator of the good options, right? So that now when they are out there on their own, because it happens so fast, and the parents that are going through this know this, it happens so fast, those 4 short years in high school, and they're out the door.
Yeah.
And they've got to be prepared. So you want them making this critical shift into knowing the options, picking the options, and executing on them.
Right.
And to know that it's not all limiting, and that they're limitless, and they can come out on the other side of it. And then the other one, you know, we said say yes later was another one we mentioned, but the last one was acknowledge good behavior. And you don't have to say good job, because I'm so against the praise junkie thing. I just do not be a praise junkie. What you want to do is connect it to the action or the thought process that really worked well, that they really methodically figured it out, and somehow let them know that in your own language. Sounds like you really thought about this.
Right.
And I like what you chose. Can I have the same thing? Or you know, whatever.
Right. So you're praising the process instead of the end result.
Yeah. And it's not even praise. It's acknowledgement is what it is. You're acknowledging that they made a good choice. And now this builds self-confidence, self-esteem. Praise never builds any of those things. But when you acknowledge it and you recognize that and you connect that for them, then all of that stuff flourishes and they feel they're empowered. This is what leads to empowerment. And so important, because whether or not they get the praise or not, they could care less, which is huge. Well, I need someone to say something nice to me or about my stuff or my work. They don't care. They just know what they're doing is the right decision, the right choice, regardless of what anybody thinks. And that is good stuff. And that's where you want your kids to be. So those tips can really help you out. And kind of what Jackie said also, take time discussing it with them. Take time talking about those things, and when they're having struggles in certain areas, just explain them, or explain yourself. This is how I see it. Well, how do you see it? Help me understand what you're thinking about this. Because oftentimes, especially little kids, they can't, well, even teens, they can't articulate it very well sometimes.
Yeah.
And you're lucky if they can. So hip, hip, hooray for you parents who can. That's awesome. But most of the time you have to kind of be a little investigator and figure out what they're thinking and connect the dots for them. And just ask them, take the time, rather than just a quick no and a no, we're going to do this, we got to move on. Ask them, help me understand what you're seeing and what you're thinking about that. Why is it that you want that or want to do that? And it might just be, well, I just want to get out there and play, or I want to get to the other side of the street, or I see all these kids over there. Oh, okay. And then you make an adjustment and you can validate what they said. Say, you know what? I can see why you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You validate their interest. You validate what inspired them. You validate all these really good things that they really wanted because it was part of their expansion, right?
Yeah.
And this goes with teens too. They want to get out there and meet the world and meet peers and be in interesting places. I can see why you want to do that. Do you understand my point of view, where I'm a little concerned about this particular party or this particular thing? Help me feel better about that. What can you tell me more about it?
Yeah, have
we both need to feel good about this. And so have that dialogue. You're opening up dialogue. You're helping them explain. You're helping them actually think through things that they normally don't think about, where all they're just thinking is go. We're thinking no, and they're thinking go. And you just help them move through it step by step and know that you both matter in the process and their well-being matters. And so so that's just taking that time to have that discussion about it is just key.
And our last point we have is questions that you can get kids to talk. Now, I know, Gretchen, you have teenagers, maybe a little more probing to get these kids talking as teenager.
It's kind of some of the questions I was just saying. It's like, what can you tell me about that?
Yeah.
Help. This is a one I use a lot. Help me understand that better. Or I'll say to them, and I did this at all ages, really. Help me understand what you're thinking. Help me understand how you see this. Then it looks like I need the help. When sometimes I've got it all figured out, but not all the time. I don't always have it figured out.
No, we don't understand how their brain is moving and how they got to what their conclusion is.
And they maybe wanted something totally different. And more often than not, parents, unless they're really tuned in, miss the mark of what was really important to that kid. And we may think it's something else based upon our own biases. So really ask those questions. And that's what I primarily do for the teens with that older age group.
Yeah. Sooner you start, the easier it'll be as they get older too, because they're used to having you ask these questions. And because when they're talking about it, it already went through their mind first. So they already thought it out.
Right. And then you can ask them this question, how would that play out?
Yes.
If it's something that is a little challenging, you know, might need to be a no. Well, let's play that out and make them. And most of the time they'll come up, oh, I don't know. They'll give you that gump face. And
yeah. I don't know. I get that too. I don't know.
And that's okay. Say, well, you got to give me a little bit more. What would happen next? Well, what if this? And ask them a couple questions and see if you can get them to ask you some questions and so that they connect the dots, because that's what it's all about.
Yes. Sometimes with my son, because he's younger, it's a lot of I don't knows, because he really doesn't know, I think, the words to the feelings and the thought. It's really, that's what it is. And I'll say, okay, do you want to take a little time out for yourself? And then we can talk about it later. And he'll usually say, okay. And a lot of times he comes out and he's fine.
You're lucky you get an okay out of that, because a lot of people can't get the okay.
I think it's just, you know, habit. Like this is how our family interacts. So he knows. And when his thoughts is collected and I can tell he is, and he comes out and he's smiling, we'll talk more about it. And I'll just press as much as he will be able to answer.
Well, it's okay to press. First, try the option of space. Well, go ahead and think about it. Or ask him a question. Is it that you really don't know? Or is it that you're having a hard time communicating what you're thinking and feeling? That you're having a hard time saying it. Communicating is sometimes even a big word for little children. I just say saying it. Is it hard for you to say what you think and feel and explain it? And that's usually a yes there. So let's give it a try. And you describe those emotions and you describe those feelings. Is it that one? No. Is it that one? And kind of keep going back and forth. And it takes time. And we can't be part-time parents. I talk about this all the time in my book about being part-time parenting. Where we want it fast and furious, and we want the results, and we want it now, and it's snap, snap, snap.
Yeah.
And I've been guilty of that. But we have to slow down. And when we get these little morsels of information, we really start understanding our child, and we really know where to redirect them, especially if they give us excuses.
Yeah.
So I've had my kids many times, I don't know, Mom. Or other kids, I don't know. Well, maybe you should know. Do you think you should know? Yeah. Do you think it'd be helpful for you to know in this particular circumstance? That doesn't mean all the circumstances they need to know everything, but there's some where they're getting off the hook. And you don't want your child getting off the hook so that they kind of play into this role of I don't have to take responsibility for myself. They got to take responsibility. Well, if you don't know, sweetheart, I use these words a lot. If you don't know, who is?
Yeah.
I don't think and feel for you. You have to know yourself. Go take some time to explore it, or I'll help you do that. But in this case, this one's really important. So we're going to get to the bottom of this. We can do it now or we can do it later.
Yeah.
When it's important. And then there's time to let those things go too.
And as you get to know your kids better by communicating with them and listening to them, you're going to see that every crying is different. And you don't shut down those crying, because those crying, there's an emotion, there's a communication, they want to say something to you. We're running out of time.
Yep. And we need to get going, but we've got one more thing. It's like very last question is really critical, because if you really have to say no, and without shutting your child down, and you know, maybe your relationship's in a critical kind of thing, you know, you're teeter tottering on stuff and you still need to maintain your foothold with them and that strong connection, you can say something like, is there another option that we could explore?
That's a great question.
And never say the words, I don't want to say no to you. Or, well, you can say that sometimes, but it's just because they still need to know that you're the decision maker without you sitting there, without you putting it in their face. But just say, you know what, is there another option that we can explore? Because this one just is not going to work this time. There are times when you have to be firm on that. And so hopefully all these different tips and dialogue will help you a little bit in clearing some of that up and ensuring that you don't put braces and limitations on your child's brain and mind and aspirations, and open the doors for them and let them be expansive and limitless in their thinking and being and how they act in their lives. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. See you soon.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Parent Pump Radio. You can go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows, which are featured on missionsradio.org. That's missions with an S, radio.org. And once you're there, subscribe to our news feed to be notified of new releases. And for those of you that don't know, the RSS feed button is right next to the follow and share buttons on the top of this page that you're on, the one that features our shows. And that's the button you want to click to be notified of any new episodes. Also, you can visit us at our website, www.parentpumpradio, to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions, and to connect with us on social media. When you sign up on our website, we have a free gift for you, so don't miss out. So until next time, have a wonderful week.